Today, markets, households, and businesses all held over a barrel. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Sometimes events change thinking. And this week, harsh reality crept across global markets as investors, central banks, and ordinary consumers alike are now effectively being held hostage as Brent rose more than 9% higher after President Donald Trump signaled that stopping Iran's nuclear ambitions mattered more than protecting oil prices. And when Tehran struck additional vessels and its new supreme leader vowed to fight on, the message was clear. By closing the Strait of Hormuz and hitting numerous oil and gas targets throughout the region, they've pushed oil prices beyond $100 a barrel, which is, of course, pushing up both inflation and US interest rates. The Iranians also profit, by the way, by boosting the value of their most important export. And at least six vessels have been struck across the Persian Gulf, while Iran unleashed some of the largest missile barrages into Israel since the conflict began. Back in early March, oil traders had briefly flirted with the idea that supply disruptions might fade quickly, but now that illusion has evaporated. This conflict is not drifting towards a quick diplomatic off-ramp. The no-end-in-sight scenario has become perhaps now the most likely outcome. Much of the oil and gas that passes through the Strait of Hormuz is used in a range of products, such as fertilizer and plastics, so the sudden uptick in their prices could lead to heavy inflationary pressures in economies around the world. And despite efforts in recent days by the US and the International Energy Agency to make more oil available for purchasing, the psychologically important 100 years plus oil carries consequences far beyond the energy complex. It reaches straight into central bank reaction functions and inflation expectations. By expanding the theatre of engagement in these economic pressure points, Iran is demonstrating its intent to impose material cascading costs on US allies, proving that it can still hold the region hostage despite a crippled conventional military. Actually, the moment crude crossed the 100 US threshold, the market recalibrated the entire interest rate outlook. Only a few weeks ago, traders were penciling in at least three Fed Reserve cuts this year, but now not even a single cut in 2026 is fully priced. That is the destructive power of triple digit oil. Traders are making it painfully clear that they see the stagflation risk lurking. No surprise then that high oil prices feeds higher yields, a stronger dollar, and weaker equities everywhere. The MSCI Global Index was down 0.85% on Friday and 1.79% down for the week. The Asian, excluding Japan, fell 0.48% for the week, while the Stock 600 in Europe fell another 0.49%. Compare this with the ASX 200, which dropped 2.64% over the 5 days. The Dow fell another 0.26% on Friday, while the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both slid as energy prices detonated through the macro plumbing. The bond market moved with equal urgency. The two-year Treasury yield jumped to 3.759%, making the strongest daily rise since last spring, and back down to 3.73% now, while the 10-year drifted towards 4.3%. While gold fell 1.88% across the week, the US dollar strengthened, with the DXY at 1.39% to 100.5. Even though gold is typically seen as a safe haven in times of geopolitical crisis, the yellow metal's shine has subsequently been marred because a stronger dollar make bullion more expensive for overseas buyers. The latest but rearview mirror economic data showed a sharp downturn revision to fourth quarter GDP growth, though the personal consumption and expenditures report showed little movement in the US Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, while other data showed weakening demand for durable goods. The US trade deficit narrowed sharply. Housing starts surprised the upside with a 7.2% gain, and jobless claims remained comfortably below last year's averages. According to a second estimate by the Bureau of Economic Analysis, real gross domestic product, the GDP, grew at an annual rate of 0.7% in the fourth quarter 2025. That's a big revision from the 1.4% growth in the first estimate. Separately, the January core personal consumption expenditures of the PCE price index, which is, of course, the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, rose 0.4% month over month in January, matching the consensus. On a year-over-year basis, core PCE rose 3.1%, also matching estimates and remaining significantly above the Fed's 2% inflation target. The dominant transmission channel remains brutally simple. Oil pushes yields higher. Higher yields drives the US dollar. A stronger dollar leans on risk assets. And oil futures are now staying higher out to November and beyond. Actually, until investors gain clarity on one question, how long will the Strait remain under threat and how much economic damage will the energy shock inflict before the guns finally fall silent, things will remain in the air and stagflation looms large, hurting ordinary businesses and households everywhere. To counteract Iran's hold over the choke point, the US Treasury Department said it would permit countries to purchase some sanctioned Russian crude until April the 11th. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent noted as well that the US is planning on the Navy providing escort for commercial vessels traversing the Strait. Well, talk is cheap. The benchmark S&P 500 index slumped to a three-week losing streak and is now down more than 3% for the year. The small caps Russell 2000 ended at its lowest close of the year so far, and the volatility index was at 27.21. Looking at individual names, Adobe sank 7.6% after the creative software group said its chief executive of 18 years will step down and that its board had initiated a search for a successor. Meta Platform slid 3.8% following a report that the social media behemoth had postponed the release of its artificial intelligence model Avocado to at least May. And BlackRock was down another 3% across the week on more concerns about private credit markets as money continues to be withdrawn where possible. European stocks closed lower on Friday as oil hit that $100 level. The pound European stock City 100 dropped 0.5% after slipping by as much as 1.2% earlier in the session. The DAX in Germany declined 0.7% and the CAC 40 in France fell 0.9%, while the FTSE in the UK decreased 0.4%. European and Asian equity markets actually have been hit harder than those in the US so far. Against this backdrop, consumer prices in France, Europe's second largest economy, climbed by 1.1% in the 12 months to February on an EU harmonised basis, in line with estimates, but faster than the 0.4% in January. A similar measure in Spain accelerated as well to 2.5%. The outlook for inflation has darkened since the outbreak of the fighting, especially in Europe, where until recently economists had suggested that price growth had been widely quelled. UBS downgraded European banks to neutral in a recent note, ending a bullish stance built on years of restructuring gains and favourable interest rates, as valuations looked stretched and positions grew crowded. The Swiss brokerage's chief investment officer closed its global bank's equity performance list alongside the downgrade, citing a forward price-to-earnings ratio for MSCI Europe banks, now near a 10-year average, eroding the valuation cushion that underpinned the original case. European TTF gas prices rose, but still are a fraction of where they hit back in 2022 at around 340, when Russian pipeline gas, which served 35 to 40% of the EU gas consumption, was severed. The Middle East accounts for around 10% of Europe's LNG imports, or around 4% of total European gas consumption. Despite the brokerage downgrade, UBS kept its broader positive stance on European equities, maintaining preferences for IT industrials and Germany, citing memory demand electrification, manufacturing reshoring, and defense spending. But UBS flagged three downside risks: prolonged energy disruption slowing European GDP growth towards 0%, a deterioration in AI investment outlook hitting IT industrial valuations, and interest rates rising on inflation rather than growth. British stocks closed lower also on an unexpectedly weak UK GDP data, which showed the economy stalled in January, while the pound remained below $1.33. The UK economy showed no growth in January, missing forecasts and raising concerns about its resilience ahead of energy price increases linked to Middle East tensions. The Office of National Statistics reported gross domestic product remained flat at 0 month over month in January. That was below the consensus forecast of 0.2%. The data was released on Friday before energy prices surged due to the Middle East conflict. British government bonds fell on Friday, with the 10-year gilt reaching 4.836%. That's the highest level since September. And the 2-year was at 4.144% as we get closer, well, to, guess what, truss territory. London home builder Berkeley Holdings reaffirmed its annual profit guidance on Friday, but warned that geopolitical tensions and macroeconomic uncertainty are weighing on buyer confidence in the UK housing market. The company said it still expects pre-tax profits around £450 million for the current financial year and a similar level for fiscal year 2027, while targeting a net cash position of around £300 million by the end of the year. Shares of radio manufacturer and distributor Stelrad Group fell after posting annual revenue of £279.6 million. That's a 3.8% decline from the previous year due to continued economic uncertainty in core territories of UK, Ireland, and Europe. Market demand remains subdued, and we expect this to continue for at least the first half of 2026, they said. And private investment firm CLS Holdings saw shares drop, making its biggest loser actually on the FTSE Small Cap Index. The company said economic conditions remain subdued across Europe and that it was too early to assess the short or long-term impact of the Middle East war on Europe's economies and property markets. In 2025, its net rental income decreased by about 11% to £101.3 million. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday as markets remained on edge amid little de-escalation in the US-Israel war on Iran, with the conflict's inflationary effects being a key point of concern, of course. Japan's Nikkei 225 and South Korea's KOSPI indices were the worst performers for the day, losing about 1.2% apiece. Japan's broader topic shed 0.6%. The Nikkei was also weighed on by a 6% slide in Honda Motor after the Japanese automaker forecast an annual loss due to restructuring costs associated with the electric vehicle business. The Nikkei was trading down 3.3% this week, while the KOSPI headed for a 1.4% decline. The region is heavily dependent on oil supplies from the Middle East, with a prolonged supply outage expected to cause widespread economic disruptions. Japan, South Korea, and India are seen as among the most exposed, given their reliance on oil imports. India's Nifty 50 fell more than 5% across the week on the back of the oil crisis. Chinese shares fared better than their Asian peers this week, with the country seen relatively well insulated from near-term oil supply shocks. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rose slightly on Friday and were sitting on mild gains for the week. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, though, fell 0.2% and was nursing a 0.3% loss across the week amid some weakness in local technology names. OCBC analysts said in a recent note that China's massive oil stockpiles plus the country's pivot to renewables and electric vehicles largely insulated the country against near-term disruption in oil supplies. China imports roughly 50% of its oil from Iran, and the country had earlier this week announced an immediate ban on all refined fuel exports to quell a domestic supply shortage. The Australian share market fell to its lowest weekly close since December as the escalating US-Israel war with Iran sent oil prices higher and fueled expectations of an RBA rate hike on Tuesday. The ASX 200 lost 2.6% for the week, its lowest weekly finish since December, as it retrenched a further 0.1% to 8,617.1 on Friday. Since the war started on February the 28th, the benchmark has slumped 6.3%, wiping out more than $190 billion in market value. That's more than the entire market capitalization of Newmont, the ASX's third largest company. Materials weighed as mining giant BHP dropped 2.3% to $49.80, as China widened the ban on its iron ore for the second time in 2 weeks. Fortescue gained 4.1% to $20.48, as Macquarie noted it stood to benefit from its rival's misfortune. Gold miner Northern Star tanked 18.8% to $21.75, as it warned that hitting the bottom end of its 25-26 production guidance would be challenging, citing weaker milling at the Kalgoorlie Super Pit and reduced output from its Jundi mine. Mineral explorer Syrah Resources plunged 29.2% to 17 cents after the US International Trade Commission rejected tariffs on Chinese graphite anode materials. Materials offset gains in 6 of the 11 sectors, underpinned by the banks, as an expected interest rate rise next Tuesday would boost net interest margins. National Australia Bank was the strongest bank, up 1.5% to $47.11, while Commonwealth Bank rose 1.3% to $123.76. Energy stocks were higher as oil traded flat at around $101 a barrel. Santos rose 0.5% to $7.53 and Ampol by 1.9% to $30.85, while Woodside Energy was flat at $31.04 and Yancoal climbed 4.5% to $8.06 to rise almost 20% for the week as the Middle East conflict buoys coal prices. Counter-drone stocks rallied after Electro-Optical Systems secured a $42 million contract for a Middle Eastern customer amid the conflict in Iran, and shares rose 18.4% to a record $11.74. DroneShield gained 6.4% to $4.17. In company news, Lifestyle Communities soared 17.2% to $5.31 after US-based prefab giant Hometown bought 11.9 million shares in the group from HMC Capital. And Qantas fell 0.7% to $8.61 as it reached a $105 million settlement in a class action over flight credits issued during COVID-19. Aussie bonds rose again, with the 2-year at 4.575% and the 10-year at 4.996%. Yes, knocking on 5%. And the Aussie was at 69.82 US cents against the stronger US dollar. Next week, we're going to see the RBA probably rising interest rates on the back of higher inflation and now significant economic uncertainty, with a 66% market probability and expectations of more rises beyond. Actually, this move was always likely to happen following the strong January inflation number, which investors largely ignored until the Reserve Bank of Australia suddenly signalled that every future meeting was in feed live. If rates climb again in March, the target cash rate will have risen from its recent cycle low of 3.6% to 4.1%, just a touch below the previous peak of 4.35%. Actually, we could easily see a 4.5% cash rate ahead, and fixed mortgages are already going higher. This will hit the housing market, of course, off the back of out-of-control public spending. But Chalmers now has an oil alibi for more spending and household support and higher taxes. If the current Middle East conflict elongates into one of the worst oil price shocks in history, things will get, well, really bad. And jet fuel is one to watch, even as the government releases some oil stocks to assist farmers. Prices at the Bowser are rising fast. The Dallas Fed modelled a Hormuz close scenario and found that under a really negative shock, where WTI peaks at around $100 a barrel, exactly where we find ourselves today, headline inflation could rise by a cumulative 1.3% points on an analysed basis, while core inflation could climb by 0.3 percentage points. That could actually be an understatement. This geopolitical crisis could easily translate into structurally higher interest rates and eventually a synchronized global recession and, well, even maybe house price falls. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin gained on Friday, extending its winning streak to 5 straight days, as hopes of more crypto-friendly regulation in the US helped offset continued concerns over the Iran conflict. It was last down, though, 1.48% to 70,551, but still up more than 5% for the week. Gains in the top crypto came chiefly after the US Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, and the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the CFTC, said on Wednesday that they will collaborate to establish a more comprehensive regulatory framework for US markets. Under the agreement, the two agencies signaled they will work together to provide a federal policy that entails a fit-for-purpose regulatory framework for crypto assets and other emerging technologies. Called the Joint Harmonization Initiative, the agreement aims to create formal data-sharing protocols, streamline reporting requirements, and end separate crypto enforcement actions by the CFTC and the SEC. While the agreement is non-binding, the announcement helped shore up optimism for a more comprehensive regulatory framework for crypto. The deal is largely in line with President Donald Trump's promise to offer more regulatory clarity for the crypto industry, with Trump having stacked both the CFTC and the SEC with pro-crypto leadership. Bitcoin's gain is perhaps a result of near relentless downside pressure since Bitcoin hit an all-time high of above $126,000 6 months ago. It went on to lose 52% of its value as it slumped to around $60,000 early in February. So technically, it looks ripe for a fresh buying. Time will tell if this is a short-lived trade which quickly peters out or something more significant. Ether also fell to $2,069, but is still up more than 5% for the week. And despite recent gains, most altcoins like Bitcoin were still nursing deep losses in recent months, with sentiment towards crypto remaining, well, I think still tenuous. More broadly, we're in for a wild ride, because even if Trump calls a halt, Iran may continue to hold the Straits of Hormuz hostage. And with it, financial markets will remain twitchy, reacting to every scrap of news, though for now at least ignoring the brewing storm in private credit markets, conflict in Ukraine, and much else, as markets are indeed held over a barrel. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.